God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message will be coming from our Old Testament reading. I'll be picking up that and a few more verses to add with it. But before we get into it, I sort of need to set the stage, and we'll be talking a little bit more about water today as we give thanks for the water. But if you would imagine for a moment pouring a pitcher of water, the water always flows downwards. Now, I know this is not very profound. You may be saying, Pastor, when doesn't it flow downwards? Well, in particular, you can watch some movies, and they have the ability to reverse the process, where the water flows upwards and breaks the law of gravity. However, I'm not going to deal with exceptions. I'm going to deal with the norm, not with what the entertainment world would like you to believe. The water flows downwards. And when the water is poured, it's water all the way. It doesn't start off as water and turn into something else, but it's water from the pitcher, and it continues to be water all the way into the glass. Water is the same water, but not exactly the same. Water is water. And ultimately, we understand that water is a gift of God who created all things. And this is truly a gift, unless, of course, you consider the transportation costs that it takes to deliver the water to your house or the convenient bottles those waters are placed in. Then there is a cost involved for the delivery and the transportation, but still, ultimately, water is a gift from God. Now, have I confused you yet? If so, let me try to clarify with a quote from Dr. Martin Luther, who said, "Do not ponder the fact that the water is wet, but that the water has the words of God." In our text from Isaiah the prophet, we have the words of God. We also have water being mentioned. And I'm going to add the two verses preceding our text to sort of set the stage a little bit better, from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 and 17 from the English Standard Version, which reads, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick." With these two verses added to our text, God reminds us and He reminds the people of Israel that Isaiah is speaking to of the Exodus event. We may remember the people of Israel in slavery in Egypt and how God delivered them out of slavery. And one of the first things that they had to sort of pass through was the Red Sea. We may have visions of the movie of the Ten Commandments in our mind with Moses parting the waters and God doing the parting, and the people of Israel walking through on the dry land between the two walls of the sea. And with those same waters, after the people of Israel passed through, God allowed those waters to come in upon Israel's enemies. That is the setting of our text. Now, to get into the first opening words of our text, and again, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, it says, Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" And I won't tell you that my first reaction was, no. How can God ask us to forget about the old thing, that He's going to do a new thing? Wait a minute, if I forget the old, how do I know that this is something new? It almost sounds like God is trying to contradict Himself, but not exactly. Let me explain it this way. First of all, from Exodus chapter 13, verse 3, "Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery by a strong hand. The Lord brought you out from this place." Very clearly, the Lord asks us to remember that Exodus event, the parting of the Red Sea. But here in Isaiah, Isaiah is giving us sort of a literary device here. It means that the new thing that's going to happen will so surpass the old thing that to remember the old thing is to cling on something that is now old or has now surpassed. It may sound a little like double talk, but it isn't. And it isn't just repeating the old event either. It's taking the old event and adding a lot more to it. More grace, more mercy, more love. Truly new, but not necessarily improved, as we see on products that we buy in the store, but new as far as more being added to it. You see, in the old things and in the new things, as Isaiah reminds us, God does the same things. He makes a path through the water for the crossing of the Red Sea to save his people. And in the new things, according to Isaiah, God makes a way into the wilderness where there is no water. And where there is no water, there is no life. God provides the water that is life. This gift of God, as Isaiah reminds us, is appreciated by the jackal and the owl, or another translation would use the word ostrich, who in turn honors God. Nowadays, when you can't trust anyone to tell you the truth, especially those running for in the upcoming elections, you can trust a jackal or an owl or an ostrich, as Scripture reminds us, because they honor God for the gift of water he provides. Have you ever watched a chicken drink water? With every mouthful, as it picks up that water and lifts it up, it gives thanks to God. Maybe this is why Jesus tells us we need to learn from the lilies of the valley and from the birds of the field, because they know how to honor God. And this was the same problem that Isaiah had with the people of Israel that we also have in today's world. People have forgotten how to honor God. Unfortunately, even with our overabundance of many different churches and denominations in the United States, we also have forgotten how to honor God. The third commandment speaks to this subject. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Martin Luther writes for us, what does this mean? We should fear and love God that we may not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. The truth is, when we forget about the gift of God, the water, we don't honor God. We do not remember, or do we not remember that we were created with water? When we are born, we are created with approximately 78% of our body is made of water. As we get a little older in life and we develop a few more fat cells, our body still made with water, but decreases down to 50%. Water is very important. God uses water to create us. Do we not remember that we were also redeemed with water? When our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ was dying on the cross, St. Luke reminds us that a soldier took a sword and pierced Jesus' body, and out flowed blood and water. Also, do we not remember that with water we were sanctified, made holy, that is, through the waters of holy baptism, as God's word now directly applied to us with the water and his command? But how soon do we forget that worship itself comes from God? God doesn't want you to have some vague feeling that you should worship him, but the third commandment expresses it as a command. So Martin Luther continues his explanation of the third commandment with these words. He says, "For the true meaning of the third commandment is that we on that day should teach and hear the word of God, thereby sanctifying both the day and ourselves." It's interesting. Martin Luther notes that it is by the proclamation of God's word the day is made holy. Please notice that you don't make the day holy. It is God and his word that makes the day holy. This is also picked up in the words of Holy Scripture from Leviticus chapter 22, verse 32, which says, "And you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Too often we forget that it is God who creates our faith and God who sustains our faith. It is God who calls us to come to hear His Word, and God who sanctifies us, makes us holy by His Word. We don't do God a special favor with special music or ceremonies, but the music and the liturgy remind us of God's gift, the water. Picture the pitcher again. The pitcher, as it's turned, the water flows downwards. So it is also with the grace of God. It comes, if you could picture it, from heaven above down to us people here on earth. Martin Luther continues with these words about the third commandment. He says, "Wherever God's word is preached, it follows naturally that one must necessarily celebrate at the same hour or time and be quiet. And without any other preoccupation, only speak and hear what God declares, what He teaches and tells us. Therefore, everything depends completely on this, that we sanctify the day. This is more important than celebrating it. For God does not say, 'You shall celebrate the holy day or make it a Sabbath.' That will take care of itself. No, you shall sanctify the holy day or the Sabbath." He is far more concerned about the sanctifying than about the celebrating of it. And where one or the other might be or must be neglected, it would be far better to neglect the celebrating than the sanctifying, since the commandment places the greater emphasis on the sanctifying and does not institute the Sabbath for its own sake. Let me picture it this way again with the water. As you're pouring the water onto, say, a hard surface, like a table or the floor by accident, what naturally happens is that the water does jump up a little bit, does it not? But then falls back down. The majority of the water is always going downwards, and one or two bounces upwards. So also in regards to worship, the majority of God's grace comes down upon us. That's the major action here. Our praise and our thanksgiving is like one of those little drops heading back up after it bounces on the hard surface. Notice the emphasis on direction. The water flows downward, unlike in the entertainment industry where they can reverse the process, and the majority of the water flows upward. As Christians, we realize we're here to receive God's grace. The tiny little bit of praise and thanksgiving is only a drop of water compared to the oceans of God's grace. We continue on. In a world where most people assume that worshiping or remembering this day is something that we do, Martin Luther's explanation may be a little difficult for us to accept. However, worship is like everything else in which God is involved. He is the subject. We are the object. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 reminds this to us. It says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." So it is God who is causing us to will to gather to hear His word and causing us to do it. Again, God is the subject. He is the one who is pouring down His grace upon us. We return to Isaiah with the last words of our text. God begins, "I," and repeats it for emphasis. It is I, not us. It is God Almighty who blots out your transgressions for His own sake. Please note that He does it for His own sake. Our sins are forgiven, not because of anything we do to God, not because we lead any special lives or we sing special songs. God forgives us our sins, and I will not remember your sins. Only because of the water that He created us with, the water that He redeemed us with, and the water that He sanctifies us with. This is why we have come to give honor. This is why we have come to worship. The music, the liturgy, and the prayers, the message, and even the encouragement afterwards are to remind us of the gift of water that He alone provides. Again, the water flows downwards. Only in the entertainment world is the process ever reversed. Hear the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ in John chapter 4, verse 10. Speaking to the woman at the well, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." So now we come and we ask Him, "Lord, give us this living water." We come and we worship, that is to bow down, asking the Christ for His living water, which always flows abundantly from heaven above down to us. The forgiveness of sins is bestowed not because of anything we have done, but because what the Christ has done. It is through His death and resurrection we now have the living water, the gift of God. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.